Hi, my name is Emily Chadbourne, and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast, where we explore how we can better understand our thoughts, feelings, and actions, change our results, and feel less alone as we navigate that crazy thing called life. This show is sponsored by absolutely bloody nobody because, well, no one is willing to pay me for this shit yet. But I am a huge believer in supporting other small businesses that I love and fellow entrepreneurs who, like me, are trying to make the world a better place. So if you hear me recommend or promote other coaches, products or services, please know that it's not an ad. I just want to share the love. Also, though, if you did want to sponsor me, I would completely be okay with that. So you could email me at info@emilychadbourne.com. Do Chanel sponsor podcast?
Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 37 and my name is Emily Chadbourne and I am about to record this episode live into my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life. If you are not a member of my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life, what you doing? You can join the group totally for free. There's over 3,000 amazing women in that group who are all committed to learning more about how to manage their mind, strengthen their emotional resilience, and deepen their spiritual connection. The link for that group, totally free, is in the show notes. Other things that I'm going to tell you about really quickly before we get on to today's topic, which is all about how to deal with the overwhelm of restrictions lifting as we begin to come through lockdown and out the other side of whatever this pandemic has in store for us, I am gonna shamelessly plug myself to you. If you're not following me on Instagram, it is Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. I've been told that my stories are kinda hilarious, definitely worth looking out for. You can also get involved with the Unashamedly Human Hub, which is my one-stop shop for all things personal development, manifesting, mindset, and spirituality. The Hub is a minimum of a six-month commitment, and you can stay for life because the content is always being updated, and I am live four times a month in that group. Excuse the noise of the traffic whizzing past my window. It's just the way it is. Now, if you love this episode, do me a solid favor and share it. You can use the hashtag unashamedlyhuman. You can share it through your Insta story and tag me, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. You could tell your mate Susan about it. Just see if she wants to give it a listen. You could direct her to Spotify, iTunes, please rate and review, or my website, emilychadbourne.com. Enjoy the episode. Okay, so today, what I want to talk about is the overwhelm that people are coming to me with around restrictions lifting. So here in Australia, restrictions are lifting state by state. Victoria seems to be being a bit more cautious than the other states, but definitely we are moving away from that acute lockdown, and obviously in other countries, as the curves continue to flatten, or just as the economy has to pick back up and people have to leave their houses again, what we're finding is that the initial feeling of discontent and panic and worry and uncertainty that people were experiencing as we went into lockdown is kind of coming back again. I actually saw a really funny meme on Instagram the other day, which said something along the lines of, "What's wrong with me? I was anxious about going into lockdown and now I'm anxious about coming out of lockdown." And I thought that pretty much sums up what a lot of people have been coming to me with, this kind of feeling of, you know, I didn't want it to be this way and now it is this way. I don't want it to go back to the way it was. Or I'm anxious again about what it might look like next. So I put a little post out on my Insta stories, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. If you're not following me, please do, because I'm beginning to start posting on my grid now, which is a new thing for me. I was all about the stories and I really neglected my grid, but I'm really trying hard to put some awesome content out on that platform as well. So do me a favor and follow me, Emily_thatcrazythingcalledlife. Also, my stories, I have been told, are really fucking hilarious. Might be one or two too many of Theodore, but you know, he cute. So I put a little poll out on my stories and I asked people what it was specifically that they were worried about restrictions lifting. And lots and lots and lots of people replied. Lots of it is very contextual. And unfortunately, I don't have the time to go through and talk about every single thing that got presented to me. But I have kind of worked out that there are four main sort of categories that I'm going to run through with you today. So they are returning to, so the idea of returning to a job you didn't like, returning to a routine that didn't suit you, returning to a group of friends that you didn't really feel comfortable with in the first place. So this idea of returning to something that we don't like. The second is all around anticipation or assumption. So it's anticipating that when my partner goes back to work, the kids are going to still be home and I'm not going to have time. La, 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 la. So it's about this kind of like frenzy that we put ourselves into because we're anticipating a future that has not happened yet and may not even happen. What? True story. Okay, the third one is around change and understanding uncertainty and why we feel so uncomfortable when we don't have a clear, this is the way it's going to work out. Because this pandemic is so unique. We've never gone through one of these before. The government's never dealt with this before. No one knows really what is going to happen next. And that level of uncertainty is making people feel really fucking uncomfortable. So I want to talk about that and give you some stuff around how to manage that. And then the fourth thing seems to be actually catching the virus. There seems to be a group of people who are really, and understandably so, worried about actually catching the virus. So I want to talk a little bit about that. We're going to go kind of a bit spiritual with that one. So the first thing I want to discuss is the returning to something. So a lot of people messaged me saying, you know, oh, I don't want to return to work. Let's say you are thinking about the fact that you're going to have to go back to work. Maybe you've been stood down and you're going to have to go back to work. And that fills you with a sense of dread. Or maybe you've been really digging working from home because your workplace is a really fucking toxic environment. And the idea of walking back into the office, bitches, is killing you slowly on the inside. And this is what I'm going to say. There are going to be two types of people in this world. There are going to be the type of people who, in the space that Corona has created, in this gap, in this spectacularly special moment of time where we have been stripped back of doing the things that normally keep us frantic or normally keep us in a rat race, we have been given the gift of really examining what we need, genuinely need, and what really makes us happy. And some people are going to willingly go back to what does not make them happy. And the second group of people are going to say, that didn't make me fucking happy. That job that I've been slugging away at for 5 years, in the gap, in the distance, in the step back from it, I've realised was the thing that was making me desperately unhappy. And they are going to go and do something about that. And so you get to decide which camp you step into, whether you are going to be the sort of person that just goes back to what was tolerable beforehand, or whether you are going to say, wow, thank you for giving me the insight that this was not making me happy and recognizing that I have the power to change that. Now you might be thinking, well, how do I change it? I'm telling you now, as someone who did a job that she hated for years, as someone who was in that relentlessness and felt completely trapped by her circumstances, of course it's possible for you to go and do something else. Of course it's possible. All you need to do is ask yourself, am I willing? Am I willing to be courageous? Am I willing to be brave? Am I willing to retrain? Am I willing to take a risk? Am I willing to listen to my soul? Am I willing to not worry about what my mum thinks I should be doing? Am I willing to follow my heart? Am I willing to be happy? And you know, I think for a lot of people in this space that's been opened up around COVID, there has been this realization that happiness isn't necessarily about getting more stuff or doing more things. It's actually about working out what you currently are experiencing that makes you unhappy and not doing that anymore. And so ask yourself, is my overwhelm or anxiety about going back to something that I didn't like, am I willing just to be like, oh, I'm really overwhelmed by this, I'm just going to do it anyway, okay, here I am, but going back to this life that I never really enjoyed? Or are you willing to turn around and go, hey, you know what, in this space, I didn't fucking enjoy that, I'm not doing that again. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to go and find something else. It might not, it doesn't need to be your dream job. It doesn't need to be your perfect career, but it needs to be the thing that no longer makes you happy. Life isn't about finding what makes you happy. Life is about seeing what is not working for you and having the power and the strength to go, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to have that thought anymore. I'm not going to do that behavior anymore. I'm not going to hang out with that person anymore. I'm not going to go to that workplace anymore. And you don't need to know what the next bit is. You don't need to know what the happiness is. You just need to concentrate on not doing what makes you unhappy. And in that process, in that movement, in that energy, you will begin to experiment. You'll begin to be curious. You'll begin to attract. You'll begin to observe that there are opportunities right in front of you every single day for you to try the next thing. And then you assess, will this make me happy? But most people are so worried about getting life wrong. They're in that fixed mindset that there is the right path and the wrong path, that they stay on the path of unhappiness because they haven't yet worked out what is going to make them happy. You're not going to work out what's going to make you happy while you're doing the shit that makes you unhappy. So if you are feeling anxious or overwhelmed about going back to work, going back into the workplace, do something different. You don't have to go back to the thing that made you unhappy. That is your choice. It is always your choice. So that's the first thing. The second thing that I want to talk about is the assumption that something bad is going to happen, or the assumption or the anticipation that it's going to be hard. What you believe to be true, you will manifest in your reality. You are always your own self-fulfilling prophecy. So while you are saying, what if my husband goes back to work before my kids go back to school? All you're doing is you're giving yourself a moving image in your mind, like the movie in your mind, of a future that has not happened yet, and then you're connecting a vibrational frequency of worry and doubt and anxiety and, oh my God, it's going to be terrible, it's going to be terrible. It hasn't even fucking happened. That has not even happened. And yet you're living it. You are living the vibrational frequency, the feeling, the emotion. You are living that by allowing your brain to go unchecked into the worst case scenario of what might happen for you. It hasn't happened. And in the Unashamedly Human Hub, which is my coaching program and community, you will learn how to manage your mind so that you don't sit there worrying about shit that hasn't even fucking happened yet and might never happen. Your husband might not go back to work in the same way. The kids might go back to school soon. And you know what? Even if he does go back to work and the kids don't go back to school, and you may very well find that it's actually easier to have your kids at home without your husband at home as well. You don't know that yet. You're anticipating catastrophe instead of being in the present and being in the now. And when I teach meditation through the Unashamedly Human Hub, it's not about like, do you transcend your mind and levitate? There's none of that shit. It's literally like, how can you be in the present and guide your mind and manage your mind away from the catastrophization of a future that has not happened yet? And I do just want to touch on one extra thing here, which is that one of the questions that came in was from a new mum, and I've actually had lots of new mums approach me, and I understand that it is overwhelming at the best of times when you're a new mum, let alone in the middle of a fucking global pandemic, right? But a couple of new mums approached me and said, you know, I'm worried about how I'm going to manage people wanting to see the baby suddenly. And I just want to say this, you are in charge of you. You are in charge of who you see, how much you see them, when you see them, how often they come, how often they stay. That is that is for you to decide. And so what you're lacking here is a self-trust because of your inability to set firm boundaries with love and compassion. Again, stuff that I will teach you how to do if you join the Unashamedly Human Hub. But, you know, no one can come to your house and let themselves in and just sit on your sofa. You get to decide how many people come around when that happens. And you can do that with grace, and you can do that really clearly, and you can do it with a certainty that means that people won't question you, that people won't get offended by the way that you do it. There is a really elegant way to say, hey, now restrictions are lifting. I know you're all going to want to come around and see my new gorgeous baby girl. That's absolutely awesome and totally understandable. Just so you know, these are the times that we've got available. I've visited new mums that have literally given me a timetable, like a roster, and you're like, you can come here or you can come here, and they're 30-minute blocks, and you don't overstay your fucking welcome. And if you do, she stands up and she says, look, I'm going to ask you to leave now. I just respect that. So how you, well, what you let into your life, what you tolerate in your life, what you anticipate in your life is all within your control. Now, most of us don't know how to control it, which is why we end up in huge levels of anxiety about shit that hasn't happened yet, or why we say yes when we mean no, or why we sit there entertaining our mother-in-law when desperately we'd like her to leave and we don't have the balls to say anything. But when you learn how to do that, when you learn how to manage your mind, when you learn how to build self-trust and create those really wholesome boundaries for yourself, you will find that the world reacts in that way, which is that other people stop being pushy, other people stop trying to take advantage, other people stop barging in with cake and like, oh, let me hold my granddaughter. Like they stop doing that. You have complete control over who you allow in your life, when you allow them in, and how they behave around you. You are always teaching other people how to behave around you in the way that you show up for yourself, in the way that you put down your boundaries, and in the way that you nurture and love yourself. Again, all of these are skills which I teach my clients in the Hub. So the third thing that I've seen that's kind of come up over and over and over again is people worrying about change and feeling uncertain because there is no certainty in this situation. We don't know how it's going to pan out over the next few months. We don't know for sure whether or not restrictions are going to have to come back in again. We don't know when the vaccine is coming. We don't know what the virus is doing. We don't know this stuff. It's unknown. And people don't like unknown. People want certainty because it makes them feel safe. And one of the things that I know to be true is that change is inevitable in life. And you know, one of the things that I do an intense amount of through my meditation and through my Kundalini practice, and I teach this to my clients, and it is more and more and more coming into the dialogue of how I teach and what I teach my clients, is that nothing is still. You know, we're always looking for being grounded, we're always looking for that sense of calm and that sense of like everything is exactly as it should be, everything, like nothing is moving, so I feel safe. And although those moments are very easy to come across once you know the strategy in order to create those moments for yourself and to do the work to shift through the vibrational frequencies that keep you away from that stillness and that calm, it's understanding that you are still and calm in a place that is in constant motion. And so being still and calm isn't about not being in motion. It's about learning how to sway with motion. So I want you to imagine just for a second that you are trying to stand on top of the ocean, right? You want to stand on the sea, but you can't because the sea is moving and the sea has waves and the sea is in a constant state of flux. And this is what I see human beings doing here on planet Earth. We are trying to ground ourselves to stability and to certainty and to, you know, knowing exactly what's going to happen next and at what time, because it makes us feel comfortable. But science tells us that nothing is still, everything is in motion all of the time. There is not one atom on this planet that is still. It is in constant vibration. It's the primary law of the universe. Understand how the universe speaks. Learn how to speak the language of universe, and you'll have a much better time manifesting what it is that you want instead of continually attracting the shit that you don't want. Nothing is still. Nothing. Change is inevitable. So how do you stand on the ocean? You learn to fucking surf. And how do you learn how to surf? What do you need in order to surf? What do you need to go with the wave? What do you need to turn the board when the board needs to be turned? What do you need to stay afloat? I'm telling you now, every single surfer that I've perved on, because I do, has absolutely every time had a phenomenal six pack. They have core strength. They know that in order to be able to keep on top of the wave, in order to walk on the ocean, in order to be able to move with the continuous movement of the ocean so that they don't drown, they can't resist it. They need to have the core strength in order to go with it. And so when we talk about being calm and being grounded and being certain and feeling safe, what we're not talking about when it comes to mindfulness and meditation and practices like yoga is being still, as in nothing around me is changing. It's about having and developing that core strength inside of you through self-trust, through understanding yourself, through loving yourself, through sifting through the shit that you've been telling yourself day in, day out. I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I'm not capable. I'll never get a better job than that. So I may as well just go back to that shit job that I've hated for the last 5 years with another layer of anxiety and another layer of unworthiness on top of me. And I'm just going to sit here and do this thing and wait to win the lottery or wait for Prince Charming to come and knock on my door. That's not how you roll with life. You take charge of the wave by learning how to fucking surf it. Change is inevitable, and while you are resisting it, while you don't have the core strength to be able to have the trust that whatever wave comes next, you will be able to survive it. That is a scary place to be. That is like trying to stand on the ocean. That is building resistance to what is just natural and lawful. And so, if you are worried about the change, again, going back to step two or the second point, which is don't catastrophize, don't worry about a future that hasn't happened yet. Learn how to be in the now and be in the present and deal with what is directly in front of you and imminent, as opposed to what might happen next week, next month, next year. But also, you've got to understand that change is inevitable. And while you are resisting the change, you are in the resistance of the change and you are going to drown. You've got to learn to develop that self-worth and that core strength so that whatever is happening externally to you, internally, you are still calm and you are still and you have got the trust and you've got the resilience and you have got the connection to know that whatever wave comes next, you'll be okay. You can't buy that shit in a bottle and take a pill. You can't buy it on a holiday. You can't buy it in the next pair of shoes. A house isn't going to do it. The next job isn't going to do it. Another relationship isn't going to do it. You have to do it. It's an inside job. It is an inside project. And if you are waiting for an external thing to change so that you can feel better on the inside, you'll be waiting for the rest of your life. Go back to that shit job. Catastrophize about your future. Enjoy it. Because the only way to get through it, the only way to surf, is to develop that core strength. And that core strength is made up of self-love, self-worth, and self-trust. The fourth thing is about catching the virus. And understandably, people are worried about the actual catching of the virus. You know, a really great mentor of mine said something to me recently. Excuse me, just burping at you all. Fit. A really great mentor of mine said something to me recently, which has stuck with me. And he said, you know what, Emily, if you really want to live this life, you have got to make peace with two things. The first is your emotions and the second is death. Now, I'm not saying go out on the street, find someone with coronavirus and lick their fucking face because you're not scared of death. That's not what I'm saying. Obviously, we are going to take precautions. Obviously, we are going to continue to be vigilant. Obviously, we are going to abide by government guidelines, knowing that the government is doing as best that they can. They've never done this before, so it's new to them. There are lots of unknowns, lots of uncertainties, lots of stuff that we don't know yet. So it's trial and error. Everything is all good. We're surfing the wave of it. We're not trying to control the ocean because we can't, but we're learning how to surf in the ocean so it no longer fucking takes us down. Yeah. So obviously we are going to maintain proper precaution, but if we are going to live this life running from death, staying at home, not leaving the house in case we get rejected, not going for that job in case it doesn't come off, not saying to that person that we love them, not taking chances, not living and breathing and taking everything that can be taken from this one precious life. Like, life is for living. And so you don't not get in your car on a daily basis in case you crash your car. You get in your car, you make sure that you are a skilled driver, you put your seatbelt on, you abide by the laws of the road. You still do the dangerous fucking thing of getting in your car. We can't live in the paranoia of death because death is going to happen to you anyway. Now, we're not going to invite it early. We're not going to encourage it to come before it's time. Like I said, you're not going to go out and find someone with corona and just lick all over their face and be like, fuck you, death, you're coming for me anyway, because that's fucking weird. But what I'm saying is don't let the fear of something that is inevitable hold you back from living your life. I run monthly spiritual webinars in the hub where we go deep on stuff like this. Like, what is death? Why do we so demonize it here in our Western society? Why do we push it to one side? Why do we make it so hard? Why do we make it so nasty? And again, it's because we're scared of what might come next, because we don't know. We don't like uncertainty. We're scared of uncertainty, and our cultural conditioning does not abide well with uncertainty. And so we turn our back from death. We worry about death. We push people into the hospitals to die. We medicalize it. We've stopped giving it any kind of fucking reverence. It's part of life. It is life. You can't have life without death. It is an intrinsic part of being alive. Now, again, I'm not saying, hey, guys, don't worry about it. You're going to die anyway. Fuck it. Get Rona. That's not what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm saying take full precautions, but don't allow the virus to stop you from living. I know a lot of people who are alive but aren't living. And I know what it feels like to be alive and not be living, because I did it for many years. When I came to the realization that I was no longer going to do the things that didn't make me happy, right? I'm not going to go back to that job that doesn't make me happy. I'm not going to go back into that situation or hang out with those people that don't make me feel good about myself. I'm not going to do that anymore. When I stopped doing that, when I stopped allowing my catastrophizing mind to dictate how I should feel because I'm playing out a future that hasn't even happened yet, when I decided to stop doing that, when I learned the skill and built the muscle around managing my mind better, therefore building emotional resilience because I can now control the vibrational frequency that I'm in better, right? Which means that I communicate to the universe much better. When I stopped doing that, and when I began to realize that, you know, I couldn't control anything, and trying to control everything and wanting to have certain answers and needing to have guarantees from people and from situations and from the government and from the next step. And when I put that down, because I realized it was like trying to fucking control the ocean, and instead I decided to grab a surfboard, build my core resilience and start learning how to surf with the ocean so it can become an enjoyable playground instead of this monstrous tidal wave that just felt like it was trying to drown me. Once I gave that up, I found that I was free to really live my life. And it's been glorious ever since. Have I had bad days? Yes. Has it been hard? Yes. Are there days where I'd rather not do life? Yes. Are there moments where I'm still like, what is happening? Yes, of course, I'm a human being. But I don't let those moments become my full-time reality. I acknowledge them for what they are, and I acknowledge the trigger that they have set off in me, and that is a beautiful opportunity for me to learn even more about myself, let go of the stuff that no longer serves me, to continue to clear up the vibrational frequencies of fear and doubt and worry. And so I let that shit go, and I continue to manage my mind, build my social, my emotional resilience, and to deepen that spiritual connection, which means that whatever happens in the next part of the process, I know that I'm not going to go back to doing the things that didn't make me happy. And I know that I'm not going to allow my mind to think of the worst case scenario from here on in. And I know that I am going to continue to dance with life instead of try and control it. And as a result, you know, I kind of feel like I will always be okay. And that level of self-trust is worth working towards. So that's what I got for you today. I trust that has helped. I'm sorry I haven't been able to sort of go case by case, but there were so many messages, and thank you all for messaging me. But what I always try and do with these podcasts and in the way I work with my clients is give you the code. The context is irrelevant. You know, the context is just contextual, right? Whether or not you've just had a new baby, whether or not you've got grown children, whether or not you've got no children, whether or not you're homeschooling, whether or not you're not homeschooling, whether or not you're working from home or been stood down or been made redundant or still going into the workplace. The context is irrelevant. The code is the same. So if you're feeling a huge amount of overwhelm and worry or doubt or anxiety, ask yourself those four things. Am I returning to something that didn't make me happy? And do I need to do that? The answer is always no, by the way. You never have to do anything that makes you unhappy. Am I living in the anticipation or the assumption that something might happen that has not happened yet? Am I trying to control what is uncontrollable? Do I need to learn how to better build my internal resilience and strengthen my core so that I can enjoy life and all of its surprises and adventures and weird twists and turns instead of being at the mercy of them? Am I living my life to its fullest potential? And am I enjoying this one divine miracle of experience? And if I'm not, am I willing to go and do something about that? And if you want to ask me any questions about joining the hub or what that looks like, then please feel free to send me or my team an email at info@emilychadbourne.com. We can send you some more information about what the Unashamedly Human Hub looks like. All right, my gorgeous people, thank you all for joining me today. Go in peace to love and serve yourselves so that you may be at peace to love and serve the world.
If you're anything like me, your first thought in the morning is often one of, oh, holy fuck. We wake up instantly feeling like we're in lack. Not enough sleep, not enough time, not enough. We scroll through social media and feel not enough. We think about our day ahead and feel underprepared, uninspired, or overwhelmed. What if we're not enough? Before we're even out of bed, our mind is telling us all sorts of crazy stories, and these stories set the precedent for our day and have a huge effect on our results. Imagine if you could start your day with a different thought. Imagine waking up to a daily reminder of the greatness that lies within you. Imagine having your own personal and funny cheerleader inspiring you every single day. Imagine your first waking thought being one of abundance and purpose. Well, imagine no longer, my friend, because now you can wake up with M. Wake Up with M is a text message service for women who are ready to wake up to their power, purpose, and passion. A daily motivational message from me personally to get you smiling into your day and vibing high from the moment you wake up, and all for less than the price of a couple of lattes a month. And even better, you get the first month completely for free. Because, well, you know, you might actually find it really annoying to have a daily reminder that you're amazing and capable and awesome. Head to emilychadbourne.com/wakeup or check out the link in the show notes below.
Good morning, you're awesome.